Praise the name of the Lord. Psalm 78 tonight. Look with me, if you would, in this psalm. Praise God. Just, I'll probably carry on a little bit more with some of the things we were talking about this morning as far as mentorship, being mentors, and the fact that all of us can fulfill this role. But what's interesting is that we've already been called of God to fulfill this role. And let's read these verses here. Psalm 78 down through verse number 7. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God and keep his commandments. This is Grandparents' Day. How many grandparents do we have here tonight? You're a grandmother or a grandfather. Some of you are proudly holding your hand up. Someone said that if I could have had my grandchildren first, I would have. Of course, we know that's not possible. But grandchildren are pretty amazing. Marsha and I have 9, and number 10 is supposed to be here just around Thanksgiving, and so we're gonna round it off at 10, at least for now, and we'll see how things go in the future. Grandchildren are pretty amazing. It's a wonderful gift. It's a wonderful calling, really. And this text here really deals a little bit with this responsibility and this calling that we have to our children and our children's children. God-given responsibility that we have. Amen. Our grandchildren, of course, we've had Emerson, and of course, Emerson's the most important one, and Mike and Kara come down the list a little bit, but they were with us for a while. They're now in Lexington, and we don't see her as much. I didn't see her for 2 weeks, and that was kind of like withdrawal because it was day in and day out of seeing her smiling face. And every time you walk in the house, she runs to you and makes you feel like that you're really important. It's a good feeling. She came in the other day, Wednesday, and again, I say Emerson came in and her mom. And so I'd been in Lexington at the hospital all day and came in about 3 o'clock, and I was pretty well beat. And so Marcia said, it's time for her to take a nap. So why don't you lay down with her? And I said, okay, we'll try that. And Emerson started jumping up and down and said, best sleepover ever. I do not know where on earth she gets this stuff, but she comes up with it somehow, some way. Grandchildren are pretty amazing. This text is actually talking about our responsibility to pass on to our children and our children's children to be an influencer, or like we described this morning, a mentor, someone that cares enough to try to put in their hearts the things of God. And so just think about the potential that we have even with grandchildren. My English grandchildren called me on my birthday. I talked to three out of four as they were getting off the bus from school. They just started school, and they're on an Air Force base, going to an Air Force base, but they have a bus. It's not a school bus. It's like a charter bus that brings them home, which is not really all that far, but brings them home. But I was able to talk with them, and it sounds like they're next door. The connection is so good. Each one of them with their own little personalities. Each one of them have, such amazing potential, especially if the Lord gets a hold of their life. And that's a thing that I think that grandparents should take to heart. It's one thing to be generous to them and to love them and to do good to them, but it's really an important thing to put the Word of God in their heart. And it starts off in this text here, "Give ear, O my people, to my law." Pay attention to the Word of the Lord. We need to pay attention to the voices that we are listening to. The voices in the world are competing for our attention. And so the writer is saying, give ear to the word of the Lord. Pay attention to God's word. Be a listener. You know, you can sometimes tell who someone is listening to by the way they talk and they act. You can tell who they're listening to. You can tell what they're watching. They can tell what they're reading. I've had occasion on more than one occasion to listen to a preacher preach. And one time I listened to a preacher preached, and he preached almost word for word a sermon out of a Vance Havner book. Many of you have heard of Vance Havner, and just about every preacher has a collection of Vance Havner books because he was such an interesting writer and has wonderful sermons and sermon thoughts and ideas. He's just an old-time country preacher with great insight into the word of the Lord. And I sat down in a service. This preacher, if I named his name, you'd know his name probably. He preached the sermon almost word for word out of that book. It's amazing the kind of, it was obvious who he was reading after. It was obvious. I was in Alabama one time, this was many years ago, 20 years ago, and sat down to listen to the night speaker at a camp meeting or a youth camp, and I'd never heard this guy preach ever before. As he read his text and started preaching, and at that time I hadn't had near as much exposure to B.H. Clendenin as I have now, but I had heard him a few times and had met him one other time before that time, 20 years ago. When that guy stood up and he started reading his text and started preaching, I said, he listens to Clendenin all the time. You can tell. He's got his mannerisms down. He's got his voice down. He points his finger like Clendenin. You can almost tell who the big influence is in our lives. Amen. It's the truth. The most important thing is to give ear to the word of the Lord. Give heed unto the word of the Lord. We need to get God's word in our hearts. I can't tell you the times. It's really often that when I am trying to get prepared for a service, that I will be in my office back there and I'll be sitting there saying, Lord, I don't know what you have planned for this service. I don't know what you want to happen in this service. And I don't want to just sermonize. I want to know, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to know what you are saying. I want to be in tune to the voice of the Lord. And so the psalmist is saying, listen to God. Give ear to the word of the Lord. Know God's word. Know God's word. You can't really pass it on. You can't really transfer God's word and give it to someone else if it is not in your heart. If you don't know it, if you have it, read it, studied it, meditated upon it, and allowed it to sink down deep into your heart. It is very difficult to transfer something that is not already down deep in your own heart. Amen. Amen. I've heard people say, well, I really can't. I have a hard time reading the Bible because I have a hard time understanding it. I have a hard time understanding the Bible. And, you know, the Word of God was written for people of faith. Yes. Sometimes we read God's Word, and I have read it and studied it for a lot of years, but there's many times when I'll read a passage of Scripture and I'll say, what on earth does that mean? What is that saying? How could that ever apply to my life or to our church? What is it? Why is it there? And why is God speaking to us through that passage of Scripture? What is He saying to us? This is God's Word. It's inspired of God. It was written for people of faith like you and me. And so we look to God and we look to the Spirit of God. The Bible says that the Spirit of God will guide us, will lead us into all truth. Amen. John 16:3. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. So when the Spirit of God comes, He can help you. The best commentary, I'm not against commentaries, but the best commentary for the Bible is the Bible. The best commentary for God's Word is just read it over, meditate on it. I've found that the Lord, many times, as I've read over it, asked the Lord, Lord, would you help me to know what you're saying and help me to understand, that the Lord will bring to my mind another passage of Scripture. And I'll go there and I'll read that. And maybe then another one, or maybe several that will come to my mind. And it'll begin then to unveil the meaning of that passage of Scripture. I'm just saying that if you really want to know it, if you really want to understand it, God is not going to keep it a secret from you. He's going to reveal His Word to you. If you'll incline your ears unto the Lord, unto the words of the Lord. He said, I'll open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, mysteries of the Scripture, even parables Jesus told them, told parables, told stories. I have encouraged back several years ago when we started the Wednesday night kids clubs and those various groups, I encouraged those that were leading those groups to include the stories of the Bible. Whatever your topic or your theme was, include the stories of the Bible. The stories that were given for us for examples. There are spiritual truths. There are things that we can understand about God and about the principles of living for God and serving God when we understand how God works in the lives of other people. He's given to us these wonderful examples in the Scripture. So we open our mouth and we tell stories from God's Word. We understand the dark sayings. Some things in the Scripture are deep treasures that have to be mined out. You have to dig for them. You have to really search them out. You have to spend some time digging for God's Word to understand them. But once you do, and it begins to open up to you, and you begin to gain understanding little by little, just like someone is mining away, trying to find that deep buried treasure, so will you as you really pursue the truth of God's Word. So give ear to it, He said. Even the dark things, the deep things of God, He said, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. Amen. Praise God. I thank God for a good mom who read the Bible to us, myself and my brothers. And many times we didn't want to sit still and listen to it, but we did. Because she made us listen to the Bible. And we transferred that, and Marsha and I, we had that going on in our own home with our kids. I remember Kara couldn't read. She was about kindergarten age and couldn't read. And we were homeschooling the girls, and we would go around the room reading, and everybody would read a verse. And so Erica would read one, Marsha and I would read one, Mandy would read one. It would get to Kara, and she couldn't read. And so she was going, And it would take her forever. And the other girls were going, why? Why does she have to read? Why does she have to read those verses? This is going to take forever. But you know what happened? Kara learned to read reading the Bible. She learned to read reading the Bible. And she's probably she might be the best reader in our family. She might be. But it got easier as she sounded out those words and she worked through them words and learned to read reading the Bible. Praise God. Those things that have been transferred and passed on. This is a treasure. It's a treasure to be mined, a treasure to search out. Now, all of this that we're talking about here, and then it switches over to our responsibility to pass it on. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord, His strength, and His wonderful works that He have done. Glory to God. Remember, I mentioned the Apostle Paul telling Timothy, Timothy, you were trained by your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and they instilled the truths in you, and you have been indoctrinated through in your household and in your family. They put the truth in you. Amen. All these stories of the Bible, you say, oh, it's just a story. Oh, no, no, no. This is inspired of God. It is a story that transfers spiritual principles and spiritual truths. And you say, yeah, but my children are so young, they're not going to understand that. My grandchildren, they won't understand all the deep truths and understand the principles behind that story. No, they won't, but they'll get that story in their heart. And they'll get a little bit older. And then the Lord would begin to show them as it's preached and taught. And again, that passage is brought up once again. Then it'll become, they'll have greater insight, greater understanding of it as they grow up in the knowledge of the Lord. And they'll already have the foundation, the basis of it will already be there because they know the stories of God's Word, how God worked on behalf of His people, how He worked in the lives of men and women, and all of those stories that give to us example after example. They were all placed there for our example. Amen. It's the truth. So we can know the Word of the Lord. There's the need for the transference. I've noticed this over the years when our grandchildren would visit us, that they would take notice of things that my wife was doing and they wanted to do it too. Like stringing beans. They wanted to snap beans and string beans with her. So they would sit at the table with her. And you say, well, that's not a big deal. No, but it's a task. It's something that's being transferred to a younger generation. This is how you do this. You snap the beans and you string them. And then you cook them and they taste wonderful. Right? Amen. Or sewing. My wife, as you know, sews all the time. And is it Emma that's so interested and has already made certain things because her grandmother took her in there to the sewing room and said, okay, here's how you do it. Helped her, showed her how to cut things out, showed her how to make things. And she was excited about learning things. Now, these are just practical things that we pass on. And there are many of them are very musical and want to know about the keyboard that we have. The little ones want to bang on it. But the bigger ones want to know, show me a chord. Show me this. Show me how to play that song. And they are understanding little by little. They understand. These are just kind of practical things that are transferred, and they're not nearly as important as spiritual principles that need to be transferred. Amen. That we need to teach them. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. We show them how to praise God, how to worship God. Showing to them the things that that God deserves praises for. We show to them the praises of the Lord. We show to them His strength, that God can do anything, that there's nothing too hard for the Lord, nothing that's impossible. Show that He has a mighty arm, that He will not fail you. That needs to be transferred to the next generation and the succeeding generations, the children and the grandchildren. His praises, His strength, His wonderful works. Our children and grandchildren need to know that God works supernaturally in our behalf. They need to hear about it. Not only the examples in God's Word, but the testimony in your life of how that the Lord has worked supernaturally for you. Our children and our grandchildren need to hear it. They need it more than they need designer shoes. They need it more than they need to go to a ball game. They need it more than they need a new device. They need some things instilled in their life that will carry them through. Amen. Glory to God. I was reading it. The biblical illiteracy rate right now is unbelievable. People in America don't know the Bible. They don't know the Bible. It's one of the reasons why that I was encouraging, because we have children that come on Wednesday night that do not come Sunday morning. And I was encouraging these that are doing the children's clubs, teach them the Bible stories. Teach them the Bible stories. Whatever your lesson is on, use a Bible story to illustrate it and to put it in their their hearts. High schoolers, 50% in a poll, 50% of high schoolers thought that Sodom and Gomorrah was a husband and wife. They also thought that Billy Graham is the one that preached the Sermon on the Mount. And there was a whole list of these things that I won't go through all of those. But a generation, it doesn't take long for a generation to pass. And for the things that we count so common, that we're so used to, we know about, they won't know about it if we don't tell them. If we don't encourage them. If we don't bring them to the house of God. If we don't encourage them to be in the Word of God, if we don't teach them the Bible and help them to understand God's Word. We take it all for granted because it's so common to us. Many of you are like me. It's just been your whole life. I hardly remember a time. My mom got saved when I was about 4 years old. We started going to church. My youngest brother was a newborn baby when we started going to a Pentecostal church. I hardly remember not going. And that's all I ever knew. The stories of the Bible, the preaching of God's Word, the worshiping in a Pentecostal service. And all through those years, it was instilled in me. And then, of course, the influence of my mom. Now, neither of my sets of grandparents, good people, and didn't get saved until they were up in years. So my grandparents were wonderful people, good people, moral people, but they weren't really people that influenced us as far as spiritual things were concerned. It pretty much all weighed heavily upon my mom. And my dad, as you know, wasn't a Christian, so my mom was the influencer who influenced us in the things of the Lord, and I thank God for that. There's an entire generation that can grow up and not know hardly anything about the Bible if we don't invest in them, if we don't put it in their hearts. Amen. I don't regret the time. I don't regret the years that we homeschooled our girls. They memorized tons of scripture during that time. And I just pray that it is something that is constantly in their heart and in their spirit, that the Word of God, that they don't get away from it. They don't get away from it. But it is something that's very deep in their heart. It says, He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, and that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born. Amen. Who should arise and declare them to their children. So we should teach them, and then we should also instill it in their hearts, the importance of passing it on. Passing it on. Amen. You need to serve God and you need to know God's word, because you are going to be responsible one of these days in your own household, in your own family, to teach them the word of the Lord. I was reading about, I have a great interest in what's going on in North Korea as far as Christians. They estimate that there's maybe as many as 300,000 Christians, believers, in North Korea. Now that's about 1% of the population. But they can't tell anyone they're a Christian. They can't even tell their children that they're Christians. If they do, they're too frightened to tell them, because they're afraid that they'll speak and say something. So some of them are under this cloud of persecution and fear, and they won't tell their children for fear that their children's lives will be taken. Some do, because that it's illegal for them to be a believer, to serve the Lord, to be a Christian. Can you imagine living under that kind of a persecution and a darkness? Oh, we need to pray for people that are going through that. Many Muslim nations of the world, where they have become believers, they have to hide their faith. They can't be an open witness without putting their lives at risk. But you and I, there's no such thing as a law, at least not yet. You can teach them the word of God. You can talk to your children. No greater gift can you give to your babies and your children and your grandchildren than to teach them about God and the things of God, the word of God. So I challenge you, moms, dads, take this on your heart. Read the Bible to your children. You say, oh, they're not going to understand. They're not going to understand. No, they won't understand all of it. But still yet, this is the word of God is quick and powerful. It can get down into the depth of their soul. The writer says, even to the marrow of their bones. Amen. The word of God is powerful. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Amen. It discerns their thoughts. It discerns their intent. The word of God is powerful. Amen. So go ahead and read it to them. Go ahead and put it in their heart. Make an investment in their lives. Why? That the generation to come might know him, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. I've heard about expectant mothers listening to music, listening to the Bible, while they were expecting the baby, because they want to acquaint them. And it's already very much proven evidence that it makes a huge impact upon them, even that pre-birth influence. Amen. Put it in their heart. Put the word of God in their heart. Why? Verse 7. That they might set their hope in God. That's the reason. You want them to set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Amen. That should be our prayer for our children and our grandchildren. Lord, that the word of God will be so instilled in their heart that they wouldn't forget it. That they wouldn't forget it. That it would get down deep in their heart. That they would set their hope in the Lord and not anything else. We do everything else for our children. I mean, we bend over backwards for them. We would do anything for our children and our grandchildren. Amen? We would. If you have the means to do it, and it's not something harmful for them, if you can get it for them or do it for them, that's what moms and dads do. And it's really what grandparents do. I mean, they just go out of their way to make sure. I mean, none of my girls can say anything to my wife about, well, if one of the kids had this, or they had this, or they could do this. My wife is already conspiring in her mind. How can I get that for them? How could that? And Amazon can be a curse. can be a curse. Because she can find anything on Amazon. It's there. And she'll find it and she'll buy it and they'll have it in 2 days. In England. That's right. Amazingly, Amazon delivers to the Air Force base. And so for my birthday this week, I got cologne from Eric and Kyle, and they just sent it 2 days before on Amazon. And I got it right here in Southeast Kentucky. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm just joking about all that. But the reality is this. We do all of these things for our children and our grandchildren. What about investing in their soul? What about investing in their spiritual life? On this Grandparents' Day, grandparents, think about ways that you can invest in the spiritual life of your grandchild. Think about it. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to help you to do just that. Amen. And just see what God might do. Why? So that they'll set their hope in God. So that they won't forget about the works of God. But they'll turn to the Lord with their whole heart. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. Oh, God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Hallelujah. Lord, help us, Lord, to invest, Lord, in our kids and our children and the generation that's to come. Let them know about you, Lord, and they probably won't unless we do our part. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.